How many of you are thankful to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. Good to see every one of you. Let's pray together before we listen to this truth today. I hope you will embrace it. I'm glad you showed up at church today. I'm glad y'all are being faithful. And as we journey together, we're going to be talking a lot about what does it mean to be faithful? What does it mean to grow in this thing together? What does it mean to continue to put a church together that's going to bless the world? So, you know what? There's some roll up your sleeves time coming. Go to work and get some things done. Also want to thank God for a couple things. You know, how many of y'all think we ought to praise God when something positive goes on? Something good goes on. We always hear, you know, man, everybody talks about the negative in life. You know, I found that it is really easy to complain and difficult to achieve. This has just been a finding for me. I find that those who complain achieve little because they're always looking at what's wrong. And somewhere down the line, we got to say, wait a minute, there's enough folks getting it right. But I want to compliment a colleague and a faithful servant in the gospel of Jesus Christ who last night held a forum with the two senators that are running for president of the United States. And I just thought he did a superb job as a faith leader. I was so excited to not hear the same old religious questions. I was so excited to not see the arrogance sometimes that religious people get, and to very humbly but yet very faithfully ask questions of value and of faith that make a determination on leadership. I was so delighted to see that Pastor Rick Warren walks his talk. And his first statement was that he believes the church in the state ought to be separate. Your pastor also believes that very fervently. You see, I believe that the church is not the government, and I don't believe the church should be running the nation. And guess what? I don't believe the nation should be running the church. And so I stand real separate on those situations. And I thought Rick did a great job of leading for 2 hours. And man, that takes a lot of time. If you've ever been in one of those settings of 2 hours of really listening intently and asking questions and you know, with a national presence going on. And they pulled it off. And for me, just me personally, it was the best view of the candidates that I have seen so far because it was the same questions to both candidates. They were asked in the same way, and there was no agenda, and you could really tell the difference. And I was thankful that there wasn't petty Annie stuff that doesn't matter discussed. I'm so tired of us in this nation with some real problems that we face, worried about stupid stuff. That really, that's not the point. The point is real issues. So, you know, guess what? We had a person of faith step up and declare something that I think it's important for us as a church to do. Hillview, you've been doing this for a long time, and I'm proud of you, and I hope that when I say it, you don't quit doing it. We're a church of diverse ideas here. Here's what I love about Hillview. Not everybody votes for the same candidate. Not everybody holds to the same biblical teachers. But we all find unity in Jesus Christ. What we've learned to do at Hillview is to be civil where we disagree. And instead of slamming one another and bashing one another and acting like children, we said, you know what? You may be different, but I'm going to listen to where God's working in your life. And I want you to listen to where God's working in my life. And then together we're going to get a better vision than either one of us had in the first place. That's really the idea of what it means to come together. And so today, I really want you to hear the message that God has for us. And it's about believing. Believing. Somewhere down the line, Jesus Christ has got to become for real. How many of y'all got a for real Jesus? Not one that just works on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, but a Jesus that says, you know what? I live in your everyday world, and I make an everyday difference in the way that you live and walk and talk and motivate and see dreams. First of all, I want us as a church to see this. Things are possible when Jesus is first. Things are possible when Jesus is first. And I think we're really going to have a belief check. Even here at Hillview. What do you believe in? And why are the things that we believe in negotiable when we become uncomfortable? You know, I'm not surprised at what I see. I'm not surprised in the world today. I'm not surprised at the degradation of humanity. I'm not surprised at the moral corruption today. And here's why. When you leave God, all of this is expected. Because guess what? When you come to a moment where things are heated, you're going to turn to what you truly worship. And here's what you know what you really believe in. How do you fix a problem when it occurs? How many of you all turn to God? Or do you try to buy your way out of it? Or talk your way out of it? Or think your way out of it? How many of you say, truly Jesus is Lord, and I'm going to work through this difficulty in the way that He has made me to be? Now, I think we got to get to some first things in our believing. I want you to know at Hillview, we're on a mission. And I want you to hear that. And the reason I'm talking about some of these things is I want you to know that we're in another stage of growth. And we got a lot of beautiful new people that are hanging out at this church now. And I thank you for being here. And I thank you that you have chosen. Hey, you know what? Hillview's the kind of church I want to hang out in. Well, guess what? We don't pride ourselves in that there are a lot of people here. We are thankful to God that God absolutely changes people's lives here. That's the bottom line at Hillview, is that your life is going to get changed because you give it to Jesus Christ. Is this making sense? Somewhere down the line, you got to say, you know what? I have sinned and am separated and violated what God wanted me to be. How many of y'all have come that far along? You can look and say, you know what? Whoa, I got a need to be saved. And I say that word because guess what? Most of the world doesn't realize that. We dance in good works. There's a lot of social gospel out there. And the reason that there's a lot of social gospel out there is we believe if we do something good, we're actually going to save. We'll be saved. I want you to know that's not true. Just because I hold open the door for older ladies, God doesn't send me to heaven. Just because I say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, God doesn't go, there's a fine young man. We're taking him to heaven. Just because I have a sense of American morality, which that in itself is very cheap. American morality. Here's the way you're a good person in America. Let's be truthful about it. Don't get caught. As long as people are unaware of what you do, then you're a good person. How many of you all found that to really? Come on. Am I telling you the truth or what? I'm telling you the truth. And then all of a sudden you'll get caught and people will go, oh. I mean, I'm laughing. People are going, Jonathan Edwards had an affair. Why are we shocked? You know why people have affairs? They get so inflated with themselves, they think anything goes. Now, somewhere down the line, you got to decide you can't do it as well as God. What do you think? Somewhere down the line, you can't do it. I mean, we all, you know, we're all vulnerable to this stuff. I'm not throwing rocks at Jonathan Edwards. Guess what? Steve Ayers gets inflated and doesn't pay attention. Boom, you can fall. King David did it. Man after God's own heart. But watch this. Go read the story. When did he get out of line? When he took his eyes off of God's plans and intentions. Started looking on rooftops. When you're at war, you need to be looking at battlefields, not rooftops. Make sense? How many of y'all got rooftop problem every once in a while, other than the pastor? Yeah, I want to look somewhere else other than where I should be looking. Does that make sense? And so, somewhere down the line, let me ask you, how real is Jesus? For many of us, he's an intellectual idea, a philosophy, a concept, a theory, good idea. A compilation of what could be good in humanity. That's not Jesus. He cannot be explained by intellect alone. There's a mystery to Jesus. He is greater than we can imagine. How many of y'all can buy that one? He's greater than we can imagine. He's risen from the what? Dead. I mean, I'm a madman. I'm telling you all to believe in somebody who's risen from the dead. What do you think? Crazy. But you know, I believe it happened. You know why we minister here at Hillview? We believe you can be risen from the dead. That's the bottom line. And Hillview, I want you to feel that pulse as a church. We can't lose that pulse. Now, let me tell you what, we're on some dangerous ground. And I knew we'd be on dangerous ground. We got to build a facility because you all like to be fruitful and multiply. Hallelujah. I'm glad we're building a facility. Now, I'm going to be... How many of you all know me to be straight up? Those of you all that have journeyed with me throughout the years. Okay. For you new people, I'm a new kind of pastor, but really an old kind of pastor in a new day. I just tell you what's up. Okay? Here's what we're not going to do at Hillview. We're not going to jump up and down, throw on 1,400 shows, have 500 different light displacements to make sure that you give your money to a building program. That's not what we're here for. However, I'm going to be up front with you. We got to have everybody involved to get this done. Right now in a church that has a little over 5,000 in worship, we've had about 325 people give to the building. Well, that got it quiet, didn't it? I know what the devil does. He tells you that you are not important and somebody else is going to what? Do it. I'm asking you straight up. I talked to the building contractors. I talked to them. And I asked them if they would take prayers and Bible verses as reimbursements for their work. And they said they preferred cash. Because they got to go to the same grocery store you do. And they got to send their schools to the same schools your kids go to. And they have to work daily just like you do. And we live in this place called America. And we exchange currency for goods and services. And even when we do that in the house of the Lord, we still participate in goods and services exchange. Fair enough. And so, guess what? Did y'all get the plan last week? I gave y'all a plan last week, but I was kind of subliminal about it. So, can you all tell me the plan just to see if you got it? 5, 10, 20. Good. Now, if you'd like to go 100,000, 500,000, we do not. That's okay, too, okay? It just gets it done quicker. Well, just tower of the Lord bless you. I'm not going to sit here and preach about money all the time. In fact, I'm going to tell you what. I get a little bit upset in this church when somebody accuses us of talking about money. In fact, I'm just going to be really honest. One of the things I need to repent of, I haven't talked about it enough. Because some of you got a bad idea. You think you can be a $2 Christian and call yourself faithful. Now, what's the Bible say? 10%. Now, let me be very bluntly honest, since we're down in honest zone here for the moment. If this church gave 10%, we'd have never gone to the bank to get a loan. If this church would give 10%, we would already have the whole building paid off before we got it built. So, I mean, I just ask you, what do you want to do with this deal? It's up to y'all. If you don't give, we'll have to go bankrupt. Don't panic. We've been there before. When I came to this church, we were 30 days out from cashing it all in. God pulled it out. So I trust God. Here's what I'm saying. Everybody's got to get connected to this and do a little bit. And when that happens, it's all going to be done. Is that fair enough? Am I being straight? Is that out of line? Come on, talk to me. I'm a conversational guy. I mean, y'all feel like I'm being a TV evangelist trying to court money out of your pockets? I mean, I want to let some of you new people know, not just new people, but even people been to Hillview for a long time, because people really don't understand. God does not pay for us. I mean, He doesn't like come in on Monday and deliver cash to the church. We take up an offering and that's the way things are paid for. I just want to let y'all know, when we turn the lights on, they charge us for that. We have big air conditioners running right now. Guess what the city utility company does? It's unbelievable. On Wednesday night meal, we have this food service truck come by and they drop off food so we can have a Wednesday night meal. But guess what they do? Daggum them. And like when we have to pave the parking lot and stuff like that, guess what they do? And when we clean the building up, guess what? Now y'all got the picture. And sometimes I just have to lighten people to that in the church, because sometimes people, they think church is like this magic, you know, religious fairy comes through and takes care of everything. Which is, do you really realize this? Many of you in this room give less to the work of God per week than you do to Hollywood. And I would say in majority part that Hollywood's not putting out real good beneficial message to humanity. What do you think? I mean, I'm eventually somewhere down the line you got to say, okay, to follow Christ has some meaning to it. You know, I mean, here's the gig. I think we want to have a faith where we do this. We come in on Sundays and we say, okay, God bless me. You're really cool. Thank you for rising from the dead. I'm glad I get to go to heaven. Now I'm going to go do what I want to during the week. I'm going to be whatever I want to be. And I'm really not going to listen to your truths or your tenets. And we expect something great to happen in our lives. Let me help you. It won't. So when you get found, you have to start living what? Found. And this is what I wanted to bring you to today. Live! Stay in there! Know that God can do something beyond your understanding. Thomas was hung up. He could not believe that Jesus was alive. How many of you all believe Jesus is living? How many of y'all believe there's a literal Jesus who was risen from the dead? What do you think? That's kind of key here. He rose from the dead. Now, ask me to scientifically explain that. Larry, you got an engineering degree, you know, even from Auburn, correct? Isn't it from Auburn? Which, if Jamie was here, I would know, an SEC school. Can you explain that through the mechanics of engineering? We have counseling degrees here. Can you all explain that through counseling? Modern science, technology. We got computer technicians here. Can you all get a computer that can figure it out? No, there comes the moment that you got to decide if that's real or not. And the reason we do what we do here in the church is because we absolutely believe that Jesus has been risen from the dead. Now you say, what in the world does that cause? Since Jesus has been risen, then guess what I can do? I can have a new life. How many of y'all got to know you got new life in you? Now, I want you to think for just a minute. If Jesus has been risen from the dead, what is impossible for this church? Nothing. We got nothing up front. What about the side corridors over here? What about a balcony? What do you think is impossible for this church? I really believe nothing. Y'all are strapped with a madman as your pastor. You know, I believe you two are supposed to be blessed. What do you think about that? That's crazy, isn't it? I believe that even though you've messed up drastically in your life somewhere, God can put you back together. What do you think? I believe that God goes one better than the Humpty Dumpty story. You remember Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall? You know, he had a great fall and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty! What? Together again. But guess what? In walks Jesus, who is greater than our king, and he can put us back together again even when we fall off the wall. How many of y'all have fallen off the wall before? I know some of you have fallen off the wagon, but how many of y'all fell off the wall? Huh? I mean, it's real stuff, man. Well, guess what? Thomas can't believe it. The God who said he would rise from the dead, would overcome death, has done it. And Thomas said, I can't believe it. I got to see it. Well, in a real way, I want to give you three things we ought to be alert to here. First of all, man, God's for real. Now, Thomas, verse 21, chapter 20, Gospel of John, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we've seen the Lord. I got some good news. Jesus doesn't hide. Who do you think? How many of y'all glad to have a God that reveals himself? It's pretty cool. How many of y'all have ever been outside before? You know, got to go to a mountain or something like that. And you hike up on top of a mountain, and if you're not so out of breath, you can look up and you look over the beautiful expanse. And who are you aware of? How many of y'all have ever said this when you've seen that beautiful mountain scene, all that kind of stuff? You've made this statement before. There must be a. It is so huge. You're going, wow. And you can see stuff up there that we haven't even discovered was up there yet. And it goes beyond our wildest dreams. Now think about this. That God knows your name. How many of y'all are glad to know the God that built the universe knows you personally? Knows your name. Does that not blow you away? If that don't fire you up in the morning, Bob, you ought to go into work tomorrow. Y'all better be careful. The God that made the universe knows Bob Quado. He even can say it correctly. Quado, says the Lord. Amen? Amen? He knows Bob. He knows you. Now guess what? And he wants you to know him. The Lord had been seen. Now here's what we're doing at Hillview. May the Lord be seen. Kind of look at your neighbor for a minute just so you can get a groove on that and just say, may the Lord be seen. Go on, tell him. Oh, that is pathetically weak. I feel like I'm in the First United Methodist Church. May the Lord be seen. Go ahead and tell, may the Lord be seen. All right, y'all move a little bit. See, y'all not used to moving church. I'm going, huh. Some of the new people are going, I don't talk in church. You do now. I mean, here's my figure, and we haven't talked in church for like 100 years, and that didn't work, so let's try actually talking in church. We have a weird view of preaching here at Hillview. We think you ought to communicate, and you ought to actually understand it, and embrace it, and become it. The Lord was seen. That's the mission, that the Lord might be seen. Here at Hillview, guys, here's why I'm telling you. That's what we're into, that the Lord might be seen. You know why we sing? Take a guess. That the Lord might be. Oh, you know why we preach? Y'all are good. You know why in the preschool area we wash all them little toys and stuff and sanitize them and make sure they're all good so all the little kiddies leave with Jesus and not some virus? So that what? Are you that? Now y'all sound like an Episcopal church. You talking it loud. Yeah. Jesus might be seen. I'm glad to be a part of a God that wants to reveal himself. But Thomas said, I hadn't seen him. And he said, and seeing won't be enough for me. I mean, Thomas is thinking this thing out. He said, well, I don't know. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe it. He said, I got to touch it before I can believe it. I got to know it's Jesus. How many of y'all know this? Jesus is willing for you to embrace his reality. Young people, if you'll let it get real. Here's what the statistics say. I don't like statistics, but here's what they say. 85% of you will not be involved in church after you graduate from high school. Reason? Most of you meet each other in youth group and not Jesus. Fact. When I came to youth group, I mean, I wish I could tell you that Jesus was on my mind. But most of the time, he was not. When I was in high school, I went to youth group. Why? Well, we had to go to church. And so if you got to go to church anyway, you might as well check out the good-looking girls that God has made. Now I'm only checking one out. And she's been revealing God to me for 24 plus years. Amen. So, hey, and it's not a bad place to find one. Now what I did is I went out of my tribe. I was a Baptist, but I liked the way the Methodist girls looked. And so I figured if I could get her under the water, she'd be all right. You know, she was just sprinkled at first, but then they held her down. They didn't hold her down long enough, but they held her down enough. Okay, no. That's life. May the Lord be revealed. May He be seen. May He come through. Now, here's what I want you to know. Even when you doubt, God comes through. Now, check this out, guys. Thomas is doubting. Chad Vicious Thomas is saying, this can't happen. Believing's important. You got to believe people can get better. You know, here's my crazy thing. I believe all y'all can be saved. What do you think? I know some of you disagree with me theologically and you want to argue. Well, now, Pastor, it says in the Bible. It says in the Bible, whosoever. So you know what? I believe all things are possible in Christ. And I believe you are a possibility of God to be saved. You say, what must I do? Well, you got to realize you're a sinner. How many of y'all realize that? You don't go to heaven unless you invite Jesus into your life. Now, Jesus will come knocking. Here's what I want you to know. You say, well, I'm seeking the Lord. Well, I'm going to show you something in the scripture text. Pastor Jeff, it doesn't look like to me that Thomas sought Jesus, but it looks like to me that Jesus got to Thomas. I think we got the reverse sometimes. You know, we kind of go like, well, one day I'm going to decide to follow Jesus. Like God's going to go, oh, thank God, now the kingdom's complete. We got Joe in. Now things can really happen. You know, oh, boy, Ayers got saved. Now things are really going to change. Now, let me help you. We don't change the kingdom. Somebody say, what? We don't change the kingdom. Watch this. God's going to happen without me. How many of y'all can live with that? Amen. Yeah, I mean, watch this. If I drop dead today, the church is not going to fall apart. Amen. I mean, Elizabeth would be sad for a couple hours, but after that, she'd recover. All right? That's not a bad deal. Because who's in charge? Frank, who's in charge? When you're down under the ground in a coal mine, who's in charge? Jesus. Better be. Because if the mine goes down, you're still what? No, you're not. You're all right. That's the miracle. You better watch out, Sean, until I preach all over you, girl. Jesus what? Some of our guests are going, people move around here. Yeah, let me help you. If you come into Hillview, you got to get ready to melt. Because most of you have grown up like I did in the frozen chosen. It was 30 minutes of this. Now, I don't know about y'all. Not only was I not being reverent, I didn't think about the sermon the whole time a dude was preaching. I just stared at him. When I was in college, Elizabeth used to prop me up. Now, we may have stayed out a little bit too late on Saturday night. Elizabeth didn't. She was a good person. So she would be rested. What I'd do is put my Bible in my lap. So I know what some of y'all are doing. Let me tell you what I did when I was in church. When I used to be a civilian, I'd put my Bible in my lap like this, and I'd go, man, they thought I had a prayer life in the house. I was cold stone asleep. You know why? Because I wasn't sure this stuff was for real. I mean, I'm from the South. In the South, you go to church whether you believe in Jesus or not. True or false? At least, you know, I mean, Easter and Christmas is a guaranteed show. Mother's Day runs third. And you show up every once in a while just to check in to make sure your ticket's still good for heaven. But does it really radically change your life? It does when Jesus steps through. When Jesus steps through, everything changes. Everything in us changes. Jesus came on through. Look what happens here. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. I think that's pretty cool, don't y'all? Now, this is the only evidence we have. I only know one guy that has died and come back. Hello? Who is it? Apparently, you are recognizable in heaven because Jesus is recognizable. But apparently, you got a body that's pretty cool now. You can do what through a door? You can go through it. And some of you paranoid people are going, well, how do we lock things up in heaven? We don't have to. Isn't that cool? Because nobody's going to steal anything because ownership is irrelevant. Now it's lordship that is everything. Kind of like it should be now in the church. It's all His. But I think it's pretty cool. Jesus walks through doors. I'd like to be able to walk through doors. Would that not be cool? And I would especially like to be able to walk through a door when Elizabeth and I are in a heated argument. I don't know if any of y'all go through this, but if Elizabeth and I argue, I'm a trailer when I argue. Any of y'all men trail? See, my wife, she's a peacemaker. She follows the Bible a lot better than I. She says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And she'll go, "Okay." But then I'll trail her through the house. And occasionally, she shuts the door on me. I'd have loved to have that capability. She shut that bedroom door, and I just walk right on through. And let me tell you something else. But Jesus says, come through the door. Now, here's why I want you to know the second thing. May the Lord be seen, and may you know that Jesus will come through in the midst of our doubt. In the midst of our doubt, Jesus still shows up. He comes through the door. And guess what he says? He better say this when he's coming through a door. Peace be with you. That is a cool Jesus line. I mean, you always know it. He does that all the time. I go, peace be with you. When Jesus does things that freak human beings out, he usually says things like this. Fear not. Peace be with you. I know I've blown your mind. Hang on. I'm God. You're not. But come with me. Peace be with you. How many of y'all need that every once in a while in your life? Huh? Peace be with you. Somewhere down the line, this thing's got to get real. It scares me. And here's what I'm scared of. I'm scared of people that go to church but never know Him. I'm not scared of people that are out there just raising all matter of hell because eventually they know where they're headed. I mean, they know that. They got a deeper chance of people than are shallow at church. Because the best camouflage the devil's got is to whisper in your ear and say, go to church, man. Be religious. Just don't follow who. Jesus. You see, Thomas knew about Jesus, but he really didn't know who he actually was. Because you see, a lot of us are like that. We kind of know about him. We think he's a good idea. But there's some moment that we're going to touch who he really is. And we're going to find out that his nail-scarred hands have forgiven us of our wounded parts. We're going to find out that his scarred side is a place where my scarred life became clean. We're going to find out that the blood that he shed is the literal blood that has cleansed us from all unclean things. And it's only by his touch that I can call him Lord. Thomas touched him. He touched him. He said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Here's what I want you to hear today. Stop what? And what? Believe. We all have moments of failure, don't we? Last year I had a moment of great devastation in my life. I know it wouldn't be in a lot of y'all's lives, but we came out of a football game where we literally got killed. I mean, it wasn't even a game. It was a massacre. And I wasn't disappointed because we got blown away on the scoreboard. I was devastated because what I try to instill in young men didn't take. Don't quit. And they didn't believe. They didn't believe when they stepped on the field. And God knows it showed. They didn't believe because they had listened to what everybody else said instead of started believing what God said. You want to be whipped in life, just listen to the crowd. And here of you, I'm going to be really honest. I'm never going to give you an excuse to not be faithful. I'm a man that's misread many times because I could care less if you black, white, green, yellow, polka-dotted, spotted, whatever you are. If you a living, breathing human soul, I believe Jesus Christ wants to get in your life and destine you to heaven. When that's a belief, that changes everything. He was healed. God heals people, God saves people, and God directs their lives. I got to tell you a funny story. God works even when we doubt. You're a part of a church where literally a blind boy was healed. This was several years back, 15 or 16 years ago. Hillview was just starting. We're meeting over in the chapel. I grew up in a First Baptist church. No shame in that. It's a great church. I met Jesus there. But we didn't have healings. Now, I'd read the Bible well enough, and I moved from my intellectual positions on the Bible to say, you know what? Let's just follow what it says. You know, Chris, it says it is. Even though I don't understand it, I'm going to do it. I went through a season in my life I tried to figure out God. How many of y'all have ever tried to figure out God? You want to be on Prozac, figure out God. He does weird things. Amen. He's just not logical. You know what I mean? He has a supernatural logic that we can't understand. That's why he doesn't say, figure me out. He says, what? Follow me, trust me. Well, guess what? We had this dad. He came up to me. We're at the altar. You know, I'm doing the typical Baptist thing. Hey, how are you? Hope God will save you. You know, have you been baptized yet? Let's talk about that. And this father comes over and he taps me and he says, my son needs to be prayed for. He's lost his eyesight. I said, what do you mean he's lost his eyesight? He had to help me, Dad. He had to help me. He said, he's blind. I said, what do you mean he's blind? He's blind, like he cannot see. Oh. I said, was he blind from birth? He said, no, it's happened a couple weeks ago, and we don't know what's up, but would you pray for him? And I said, well, there's places in the Bible where people prayed over what? Blind people. So I walked over there, and I remembered in the Bible it says you're supposed to anoint them with oil, okay? Now, we didn't have any oil at First Baptist or other churches I've been in, but I had some friends that they've been a part of Pentecostal church. Them suckers had some oil. So I said, the Bible says it, let's try it, you know. And I said, give me some of that oil. So we got some oil. Now, there's no power in the oil. There's absolutely no power in the oil. It's olive oil. It comes from olive trees. It's smashed by olive trees. It's not holy blessed. It's oil. It's olive oil. You could anoint somebody and cook with it, okay? It's oil. The power's in Jesus Christ. But he said, do it as an act of faith. And I was wondering, why do I need to put this oil on her head? And finally I realized, because it doesn't make sense. Hold on, Ross. It what? He just said, guess what? So we're going to be able to, we put a little drop of oil on it. I don't know if I did it right. Twist it. You know, I see some of these professional oil people. They got certain moves they put on them. I laugh because who does the healing? God. I mean, Jesus said, watch this. Now, here's what I'm telling you. We're going to go pray over this blind boy. I see it like it's just going to go. I was like, oh, Lord, we didn't pray over blind people. I mean, I know how to invite you to heaven, but I don't know about this blind people stuff. I know it's in the Bible, though. So here was my prayer. Dear God, in the name of Jesus, heal this blind boy. May he see again. Then I went back to my Baptist prayer and comfort his parents no matter what. Had to put the clause in there. You know what God said? Heirs, you big dummy. I'm going to show you that I'm God. Now, guess what? I'm going to be honest with you. I prayed over that boy. Did I expect him to get healed? Mm-mm. I just want to help some of you faith people that thinks it's about your faith. Because it ain't about your faith. I'm going to bust your bubble. You're not it. That's right. I didn't believe he was going to receive his sight. I was praying for comfort. I mean, I had classes in pastoral care. I knew better than to give false hope. Pastor Jeremy, I'm not sure it was doctrinally in line with where we were. Oh, by the way, God doesn't submit to the Baptist faith and message. He submits to his power and authority. And so all of a sudden, we're doing the Baptist thing. We're over at the chapel. I'm welcoming everybody. I said, we've got so-and-so that met Jesus today, and such is coming for baptism, and this family's coming to join the church, and all of a sudden, I'm getting a tap on my shoulder. I get this tap on my shoulder, and it's the dad. And I said, yes, sir, how can I help you? And he goes, my boy can see. I said, what do you mean he can see? I said, what do you mean he can see? He says, like, he's seeing. I mean, I said, what do you mean he's seeing? I thought he was blind. He couldn't see when you brought him up here. He said, I don't know, he's seeing. I said, what do you mean he's seeing? He's seeing. I said, how do you know? He said, because he couldn't read this paper a minute ago and now he can read it. And I thought, oh, my Lord, the boy's seeing. So I didn't know what to do. We didn't have any, you know, I was blind, now I see check boxes on the decision card. Here I am. I'm young and dumb and green. So I go, we have so-and-so that came for baptism. We had such and such to join the church. And we have a blind boy that can see now. Now, may you all have a great week and be blessed. And then somebody came up to me and they thought I was a person of great faith. And they said, Pastor, I was amazed at how you announced that. Because in your view, that's as normal to you as everything else. I said, let me help you. I ain't never seen anything like this in my life. It's a journey, man. Amen. I've seen God heal people. Now, let me help you. That's not God's main mission. That's where a lot of the healing people get. I think they're off track, personally. Because guess what? Here's what you can't argue. Everybody that God healed died. Two blind men God healed. Guess what happened to them? Crippled dude. Jesus said, get up and walk. Guess what happened to him? He walked and then. Oh, just want to check. Yeah. Yeah. Hold on. This is the one that would have freaked me out. Y'all remember the story with Jesus walking through town and got the boy and he's dead. This young boy's dead. I mean, the tragedy got all the mourners. In a Middle Eastern funeral, the casket is held up by those who carry the casket. It's held up in the air, and you walk through the town like this with the casket. Now, this would have blown me away. And Jesus walks by, and he said, the boy is not dead. He's only sleeping. And he says, get up. And the boy jumps out of the box and runs through the town. Can I put this in perspective for you? If you were driving down Main Street, and all of a sudden you get behind one of Kirby's, you know, last ride wagons, and you had a stoplight, and all of a sudden, the dude in the back jumps out of the back door. This is going to cause some problems in your life. You're going to be on your cell phone. We got a dead guy running! But guess what? Guess what? Guess what? That boy, he got up and he ran for a while, but he... Yeah. Lazarus! Hold on, there's a biggie. There's a biggie. I mean, I hear a lot of these Pentecostal preachers, they've been risen from the dead. Lazarus was. And then he, Noah, he hauled it. The brother hauled it. Built a boat in the desert. Unbelievable. Put his mother-in-law in that boat for 40 days and 40 nights. Unbelievable! Now, I might be tempted to choose what members of my family were going to get in. I'd be like, I said, you think it's going right? No, I'm just working on this little boat project. You just go on about your own way. See, if you thought like that, God wouldn't choose you to build a boat. Y'all imagine being in there with your mother-in-law for 40 days. I mean, we're talking 10 times Christmas. Imagine your family Christmas going on 40 days. You know, Noah did get drunk when he got off that boat. He said, Lord, let me have some grapes. I think the Lord gave him a pass on that one. What do you think? He said, Noah, what a faithful man. What, but Noah what? Okay. Moses? Elijah? He rode out. Huh. What do you think you and I are going to do? So we better live now. Amen. Here's what I want you to hear today. Stop doubting and start what? Okay, church. I don't know about you. I'm ready to see this place be more than we ever thought it could be.
Amen.
Basically, here's the plan. Connect people to Jesus. You know, I appreciate you. A lot of y'all have a lot of ministry ideas. Guess what we need to really do right now? Just connect people to Jesus. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of tired about all this church. I mean, church activity will wear you out. We don't need a bunch of activities. We need a real relationship. We need to hang out in real life together. And we need to live it out. We're going to do that together. Cool. Anybody got any questions today? Y'all been beautiful listeners today. Y'all okay? Everybody okay? I mean, I talked a little bit about money. Anybody just like really ticked off, ready to stone me? I'm talking about faith, guys. We got to get real with this thing. Will you join with the leadership of this church in loving the children that are a part of this church? I mean, it's that real. You know, I love the children in Africa, man. I love the children in Costa Rica. I love the children all over the world. I really do. But you know what? There's some children that I love really special, and those are the ones that are right here in this congregation because they're our immediate responsibility. And so I don't know how we can run all over every place else and leave ours to, you know, there comes a point in time we got to take care of this deal. So join, let's join together and take care of it. Amen. How many are ready to believe? Believe you can no matter what. So listen, if you're having some marital problems right now, can I encourage you? Stay with it. You say, Pastor, I don't believe they can ever change. Hold on, I believe you just heard a story about a Jesus who's risen from the dead. And it's true. Hang in there. You say, well, I don't like them. That's okay. Hang in there. Jesus doesn't like us sometimes, but guess what he does? He holds on to us. Even when we doubt, he comes through the room. Even when we can't get a handle on it, he said, I got you. Come on. Today, some of you are going to make a decision. I'm just really excited about the Spirit of God that's here today. Because God's just moving in a very direct, communicative way today. We've had people come to know Christ in every one of the services. Every one of the services. And so I want you to really evaluate. Do you know that Jesus Christ has come into your life? And have you asked him to forgive you? He is calling softly and tenderly. You. Some things you got to come to conclusion of. First of all, you've sinned. Now listen, I love all you guys at 11 o'clock. Listen, I love this church. I love every new face I see here. But listen, I got to get you over this con job. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. I live among you. I'm a Bowling Greenian. Okay? I eat country ham and like it. If it kills me, I consider that a good death. Okay? Watch. Listen. You're not going to be good enough to go to heaven. And that's where we've been tripped up. You men know I'm... Man, even you young men heard it, hadn't you? If I'm a good boy, don't smoke, drink, chew, or do... Or at least don't get caught in public doing those things. Then I'm going to go to heaven. I mean, there's a lot of you in this room that believe that. I want you to know the truth. We've all sinned against God. That's a fact. There's not one of you who can stand up, even you real good folks, and say, you know what? I followed the Ten Commandments perfectly through my life. So every once in a while, we need to hear that and go, oh, woe is me, a sinner, in the need of the grace of God. But you know what Jesus said? I love you so much, I want to forgive you. How many of you will be open to allowing Jesus Christ to forgive you? And for him to forgive you, you do have some action involved in this. It's called repentance, where you say this. Lord Jesus, man, I know I've sinned. How many of y'all have ever been a liar, a thief, a con artist, an adulterer? How many of y'all dishonor the Sabbath? Yeah, me too. Look, I got both hands up. I can't think of a Ten Commandment that I've kept. I've dishonored the Sabbath. I've used God's name in vain. You know how I did that? I told somebody it's God's will and it's really my will. Let me tell you what using God's name in vain is. Because guess what? It's not just saying a cuss word. That's too limited. I think where we really use God's name in vain... It's when we use God for our own gain. I tell you what, there's a lot of suckers that use God's name in vain in business. You know? Well, I'm a Christian. I could care less. I want to know if you're an honest businessman.
And most of the time, this has been my finding. If they tell me they're a Christian first, I'm ready to get crook second. You know, just do business. I'll determine your Christianity. I'll see if you follow God by the way you move and not by what you say. Here's what I found. Talk's cheap. But all of a sudden, when you put your hands in His hands, and you put your hands in His side, and you begin to really know who He is, you'll want to follow Him. Amen? So where are we? I've called the church to prayer. Everybody's been praying really well. And we got plenty of time at the altar. We're done with the sermon. We got a lot of time for the altar. Today, some of you are going to come to faith because Jesus has been tapping on you. Hey, bro, I'd like to save you today. And you're going, me? He said, Lord, you know I drink a lot of beer. He said, yep. I've been right there with you at every party. Uh-oh. How many of y'all realize God's there even when you don't want Him to be? I mean, when He gets in you, He doesn't leave when you start doing things that aren't good for you. Guess what He does? He stays right there with you and says, come on, let's get out of here. You know better than this. I've forgiven you for all that. Let's go live on the other side where things are good and headed to heaven. Amen? That's where He leads you. So, I want to open the altar up, and I want us to come pray together. How many of y'all gave 5, 10? You don't have to raise your hand. 5, 10, or 20 this week. I want to pray for you, man. If you couldn't give $5, I want to pray for you. Because guess what? I want to pray that God give you a job. Come on, I mean, let's get real about this. See, it's going to blow you away. If everybody participates, guess what? That building's going to be paid off sooner than you think. I'm going to blow you all away in the name of Jesus, man. It's going to be blown away. I'm going to come in here one day, and I'm going to say, guess what? The building's paid for. Watch this. Would this not be crazy? What if it got paid for before it got built? You say, well, Pastor Steve, we don't want to go that far because if we went that far, then who would be seen? See, here's my dream. I wish that we would give unto the Lord and love the Lord in such a way that the building was irrelevant. In fact, don't tell people about the building. Guess what you need to tell them about? Jesus. So people ask me and say, what are you building there? I said, a place to cultivate some kids that are going to make a difference. Here's the mission I'm on. 15 years from now, I'd like to see a group of kids that know how to raise heaven. I mean, some real heaven raisers. I'm talking a group of kids that'll give the hell raisers a run for their money. I mean, y'all ready for some of those kind of kids? The kind of kids that can stand up and say, you know what, I'm not doing that with my life. I'm just not doing that with my life. And they go, well, you're not cool, man. Look at us. We got 3 brain cells left and we're 17. Da-dee-dee-dee. We might even have some kids that are raised up and said, you know what, you better keep 2 of those brain cells because we're a generation that's not going to pay for your consequence. That would really cause a lot of repentance. You don't see the world change? You pay for what you choose. Oh, by the way, you will. You choose not to follow the principles of God, then ungodly principles will overtake your journey of life. I don't know why you sweat that. Because you have the ability to what? Walk in the ways of the Lord. You don't want to be faithful? There'll be unfaithful things that happen to you. When you become faithful, there will be faithful things to happen to you. You say, well, Pastor Steve, I'm being faithful. You got to do it more than 2 weeks. You got to be consistent in it, and then God's faithfulness comes through. Amen? That doesn't mean you're going to have a lot of money. Some of y'all don't need a lot of money. If you had a lot of money, you'd be horrible. True? That's why God doesn't give me a lot of money. Because guess what? He gives me enough to get by. If He gave me too much, I'd do something stupid. He knows it. I know. He'll give you a whole lot of money. He'll give us just enough to get it done. Because He's preventing us from what? Doing something stupid. Is that fair? How many of y'all cool with that?
That doesn't make me mad. He did Moses that way. He said, this is what you get for today. Pick that up. I'll take care of you today, and I'll give you some more tomorrow. I'll work on that plan. Cool? Y'all got any questions today? Has the Lord been clear through me today, or have I been on Mars today? Help me. Sometimes when I'm under an anointing, I don't know. I'm kind of like, okay, do we get this across? What? Y'all talk back to me. I'm sorry. Your pastor is a human being. I am limited to human communication. Clear? Y'all ready to get this thing done? By the way, did I tell you about 325 people? Isn't that right, Briggsy, involved in giving so far? We're in a church of 5,000. I think we can do a little better now. What do you guys think? And if you think I've talked a lot about money, apparently I haven't talked enough if we only have 325 people involved in giving out of a church of 5,000. I know what you guys are thinking. Well, I'm going to let the rich people do it here at Hillview. That'll be difficult here at Hillview because we don't have them. That's not what we're about. We're about this. We're about people. Everybody doing a little something that makes something happen. Amen? Come on, let's do this. Let's show the world something. There's a group of people who love the Lord together can do something great. And bless a group of people. Amen? Cool? Cliff, I know you've been to Africa. Guess what? That leak from here ends up in Africa. It's already ended up in Costa Rica. Oh, by the way, y'all prayed for Freddie last week to get the baptistry in the Costa Rican church. Pan para todos. There it goes. You know what? We got the baptistry in. They got 19 beautiful souls touched by the grace of God to confess their faith in baptism. Cool. All right. God wants to save somebody today. Is it you? Let's stand up. Let's talk. Let's pray. Y'all come on to the altar as I pray. Especially those of you that are already believers, come on as I pray. Let's begin to pray for our church that we stop doubting. Start believing. See what God can do. Pastors, I need every one of you up here. There are going to be people getting saved today wherever our pastors are. Y'all need to get here quick. We got people already coming. Lord, I ask now for those who need to meet you for the first time that you would just speak them to the altar, Jesus. You would tell them they can be saved, their sins can be forgiven, and you're the way and truth in their life. And so, Lord, I ask you to come into their lives. Lord, I ask that we would come together as a church and we would pray. Lord, I pray that you would gently encourage our hearts to be wonderful givers of grace, of hope, of mercy, of life. And so God, ministry has already begun here a long time ago today. So Lord, I just open this altar in the name of Jesus. Come on, people are already coming. You come for a few moments. For a few moments. Church, I'm really asking you guys to come together. And let's come pray. I'm asking you, I know you can pray in your seat, but I'm asking it for once. Guess what? We've become church sitters too long here at Hillview. This church used to never sit. Man, these altars were full. People were saved. It's going to happen right now. It continues to happen. So come on, let God move right now in your life. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on. Lord, open us up. Lord, let us be active and not just on Sunday morning, God, but in every moment of our lives, realizing you're putting us together in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.